Well, David Sirita tells us that the sun will release a huge amount of energy, which will affect the planet. We'll get more information on that from David when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. David, do you think the Mayans knew that the sun was going to be doing this kind of energy shifting?
I think it does it. You know, see, what happens with the electron spinning around the proton, and in more complex atoms, like the hydrogen atom has one proton, one electron, and of course the electron has an anti-electron or positron, and the proton has an antiproton, and then you have all the other little guys inside of there. So, you know, what happens with more complex atoms is there's more shells, and when the electron jumps the shell and it releases this huge burst of energy, and if that was our blown up to the size of our sun, it would look very violent initially, but what actually happens is there's a transformation of the particle in that process. It becomes a higher frequency, higher dimensional particle in that new high frequency dimension. And, you know, going back to, you know, before we get to, you know, what does the quantum theory say if it's correct in superimposing it over the, you know, astrophysical model or the cosmic model, then we're going to see what the answer is. And what the Mayans may have known is that, yes, every great cycle, when the solar system crosses another one of these shells in the galaxy, there is a temporary huge burst of energy, but also everything gets better. Everything gets lighter. The DNA all evolves. It all makes a quantum leap. And going back to my experience, December 22nd, 1986, and December 23rd, it happened 2 days in a row, I was going through these galactic shells. And shells are like circuit breakers. Think of them like circuit breakers. If you flood too much energy into a circuit, you fry the circuit. So you have to have these protector zones that control the amount of energy that can flow into a particular circuit so you don't destroy the circuit. And in a way, the electron does the same thing, and so does the galaxy. And so as I was literally coming to the edge of these giant membranes, were like clear crystal. And the levels of ecstasy and love were so overwhelming, I was begging God to stop. The ecstasy and the love were crushing me. But when I crossed one of these shells in the galaxy, and I knew I was zooming towards the center of the galaxy, the ecstasy on the other side multiplied another million times, and so did the love, and there were other qualities that were simply beyond even love that were unnamable, but the point is they all multiply another million times in that higher frequency circuit. And I went through six of these, and I actually saw the edge of the seventh, where I was convinced God's highest angels and God resided in the center of the galaxy. The highest level angels did. And so I've been looking for the answer in physics that could possibly explain that. So when you look at, you know, what Black Elk told me, you know, in the year 19, when the big earthquake, you know, hit in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. I think it was 94. Yes. And you look at what the Bible tells us, and you know, even the Buddhist models tell us, and the Native Indian models tell us, when the Earth goes through and the sun go through this together as a pair of giant particles, there will be a huge transformation. But even though it may look traumatic from our current understanding of physics, it may not be at all. In fact, that transition, because if the sun is becoming a higher frequency particle and so is the Earth, everything, there's going to be such a massive shift in consciousness that we may or may not notice, even though it may look very, very exciting to look at the sun as it goes through this, it may not physically affect all of us the same way.
Well, will we get blasted? Is there a possibility that this energy shift could just come right at us and hit us?
Well, firstly, remember that previously NASA could not even see dark matter. So this is going to help answer the question. It was this invisible, you know, percentage of the mass of the universe that nobody could see. But now NASA has a lot of new instruments that are looking into the X-ray and the gammas, and they're actually even looking into the cosmic microwave background radiation. And here's a whopper. This is what reported October 30th, 2009 on the New York Times by Dennis Overbite. And what happened is this satellite that NASA was observing the galactic center. Now, this is another amazing thing, is as we're coming to 2012, we're getting more data and more incredible quantum leap understandings of what's happening in the galactic center than we've ever had in the history of the world. So NASA's it's called the WMAP satellite. They actually discover something in the center of the galaxy that shouldn't be there. Instead of this supposed black hole that's supposed to be devouring everything, something is utterly happening that doesn't make any sense at all, that agrees with the model that I've been, you know, that I've discovered for many, many years now, and also is in my book, Differentials. The last show we ever did together was, we talked about the hidden harmonic codes of the universe. The hidden harmonic codes of the universe and differentials predicted that dark matter would transform itself through the differential between dark energy and dark matter and actually create matter, visible matter, out of what was apparently invisible, dark matter. And that's exactly what this satellite detected in the center of the galaxy. I just about, you know, fell off my chair when I read this, because they're seeing the birth of new matter decaying from dark matter at the center of the galaxy rather than the destruction of matter. They're seeing the birth of it, the actual birth of matter. This just turned all, when you read the article, you realize all of these physicists are completely confused, because now we have a conduit or a circuit pathway for dark matter to actually create more matter, which actually explains how the universe is expanding rather than it being confined to a limited or finite amount of matter. It's constantly converting from solid matter, you know, into light, basically back into physical matter, which is what Einstein, his theory, predicted. So this is saying that, you know, why isn't the core of the galaxy devouring this matter, and why is this happening?
It should be devouring it.
It should be, but it isn't. It's actually giving birth to it. And then I found another article, because I was looking, you know, ever since, you know, my research on water and how water is conscious, and that literally less than 10 seconds after the Big Bang, hydrogen was created. The first element, the most abundant element in the physical universe, was created. In fact, there are physicists now who believe that dark matter is just high-frequency hydrogen, and which means it was created even sooner than the 10-second mark after the Big Bang. Well, looking at distant galaxies, once again, looking in the core of distant galaxies, and thanks to these new invisible detection techniques, this was reported on phys.org, phys.org, and this was December 17, 2008. They actually found in the center of this galaxy something unbelievable. Water is being created in the center of this galaxy. And it's actually, you see, when you have this tremendous amount of electromagnetism, very, very powerful gamma rays, you know, as you're getting close to the event horizon of a black hole, gamma rays are so powerful that they should literally, they're too powerful for a biological organism to survive in their presence. They would just destroy virtually everything we know in a blink of an eye. But what they're finding is water is forming, actually being created like a type of fusion, and it's creating a membrane around itself and protecting itself from the radiation, firstly. And then it becomes something they call a maser, which is like a laser. The water magnifies the electromagnetic signal at the center of the galaxy and broadcast it out with even more power, and the water ejects out of the supposed black hole. And it disperses itself as water, no longer hydrogen. It's now oxygen and hydrogen creating water in the center of the galaxy. But we know that everything that is primeval is being created to ultimately give the structure of and the possibility of all organic biological life forms. They need water, and it's being created at the core, the very place in my spiritual experience where I believe
that's amazing.
God's angels are. So we're seeing observations that show that what I believe is the higher the frequency, the orbit of the particle, the subatomic particle, or the planet, or the sun, they're actually getting lighter, not heavier, as Einstein's theory predicts. And they behave as if they're getting heavier, according to Einstein, because he can't understand how what we call a supermassive black hole can devour suns and stars and planets with utter ease and just rip them apart and convert them back into nothing, back into cosmic energy. But if they're getting lighter, it doesn't require more mass energy to do that. It requires less, which means, again, if they're getting lighter, then they're not destroying matter. In fact, they can both be destroying and creating the new.
Will this explain, David, the possibility of parallel universes or other dimensions?
Absolutely. Actually, in the galaxy itself, now, remember, okay, I'm going in my experience, and I'm actually seeing these crystal-like glass barriers, and every time I go through one of them, the energy explosion on the other side of it is another million times, so it's exponential. So let's say, theoretically, our planet is about to go through one of these membranes in the galaxy, and I believe it is. Now, I don't know it's 2012, but it might just be. And if it does cross one of these lines, what the quantum model tells us is the transformation is sudden and massive. And there may be a huge burst of energy coming from our sun, but according to the physics model, that's not as devastating as we may see from our perspective. It actually may just be a super high-frequency burst of energy, and there may be some destruction, but we may be surprised that we may see a huge solar flare and release of energy from the sun, and then it will stabilize. It won't constantly be flaring in this transformation, and everything is different. In a twinkling of an eye, there will be a new Earth, the new Earth that Eckhart Tolle has been talking about, and of course the Bible talks about, and there'll be a new heaven because we will enter a new dimension of the galaxy. Now, with these invisible detection technologies that are mounted on many of our satellites and telescopes, it's possible. Now, remember, at going 750 miles an hour times 24 hours in a day, let me just say roughly 750,000 miles an hour we're doing around the galaxy every day times 24 equals, you know, 18, it's almost hard to believe. I'm getting a number of 18 million miles. I think I might have to do that again. I mean, we're going that far every day. We're a spaceship. We're traveling faster than any spaceship anybody's ever created. So NASA can't say, oh, yeah, we know what's going to happen next year. Now, try to come from the perspective of understanding Einstein. Einstein says the field is the sole governing agency of the particle. It tells the particle what to do. And we are moving through new fields of the galaxy every day that no human civilization has ever seen, because there's no such thing as a 250 million year ago civilization. So that means NASA can't act like God. Oh, we know what's going to happen in 2012. They can't see the shells and the electrons. They can see their effects. We can see the effects, the rib-like layers of the galaxy. You can see it when you look at Hubble imagery of galaxies. You can see the rib-like structure, which are the effects, I believe, of the galactic shells. And so with these invisible detection cameras, I think it's going to come on us really sudden. We're going to see this blue, you know, vapor or cloud or crystal-like vapor that's going to show up very, very suddenly, and we're going to enter it.
Let's get your take on these spirals, because there is that tie-in, apparently, between what you're saying and what we've been seeing, isn't there?
Now, I've done a lot of research on the spirals, and I just want to pull up some of my data. And this for me, I was personally involved with this story, and this really gets pretty amazing. Firstly, it was very clear that CNN reported that the Russians were not saying it was the result of a missile test for several days after the incident. In fact, they had no reason to believe it was initially, even though there was a lot of pressure from the media, please just tell us it was a missile so we can get on with our lives. And
yeah, that's true.
So many things happened on December 9th, more than most people could possibly imagine, and I'm going to demonstrate some of them. But what happened to myself and my wife on December the 8th in the middle of the night, I know the event hadn't happened yet. I had this dream. I wasn't, you know, technically, you know, out of body. And I see two angels holding a new type of harp or instrument, and they're flying in the air, and they sing this beautiful angelic choir through these strings that is unlike any harp or instrument we've actually have in our musical, our armamentary of musical instruments. And at the end of the instrument, there's a stone that is levitating. And they tell me, if you can figure this out, you can figure out literally why the planets are levitating in anti-gravity. Well, I wake up, and my wife, who's a jazz singer, gets a math formula to give me that she got in her dream. And my wife's not a mathematician, you know, like the kind of math I do in differentials. And I thought, how the heck could you get a math formula, and what does that mean? What she gets is, take away 3/4 of a rectangle, and you're left with 5.71. Or she said 5.71 or 57.1. She goes, I don't know which one it is. So I did. I got up and I did the math, and I took, you know, 5.71 times 4, so you get 4/4, and you take 75% of that away. And you know, you can do this on, people can do this on their own in their calculator. I don't have the numbers in front of me. So 5.71 times 4, and then minus 75%, and then you do the ratio of the two, and the ratio came. So 1.333333333, an infinity harmonic code. And I said, oh, my God, what are the odds that my wife would get a math formula that makes perfect sense to me in searching for the hidden harmonic codes of the universe? Well, the next day, we were going crazy over, you know, how the angels wanted us to build this new harmonic code generator, you know, so that we could build a new harmonic code generator and do some experiments with our pendants with it. And all of a sudden, the Norway spiral appears the next day, December the 9th. And so what do? I start taking measurements on the Norway spiral because I've seen a lot of missile tests. In fact, I posted.
It sure didn't look like one, David.
It was too perfect. And, you know, being a skydiver and spending a lot of time in high altitudes, the upper winds would have destroyed it in minutes.
And then this blue beam in the middle.
So what I did is I took measurements across how many all you got to do is blow up the image to scale and measure the diameter of the largest white spiraling wave and then measure the diameter of the largest portion of the purple wave. Here's what I got. I had blown up, here's my data right in front of me. I blew up the image of the outer swirl at 14 centimeters on my computer screen, which put the inner blue spiral, the widest part of it, at 1.5 centimeters. Or 15 millimeters. So you divide 14 by 1.5, you get 9.333333333. I went, oh my God, those are the infinities of threes that I got from the angel experience the night before. This has to mean something. So then what I did is I counted the number of whites. I took that number, and of course, it's December 9th, 2009, which are all about the laws of nine. And anybody in sacred geometry can tell you what the meaning of the laws of nine are. It's miraculous what that means. What are the odds that I would have that dream the night before? My wife would get a math equation that she doesn't even understand, and we're getting the 0.3333 equation. Okay, and then I counted at that point in the particular photograph, 13 white spirals visible and 11 blue peaks on the blue spiral. So I divided 13 by 11, I got 1.181818, and of course 1818 breaks down to 999999. So you're getting this consistency in the laws of nine. Well, guess what happened on December 9th? I don't know if anybody in your show has clued into this yet. I know a lot of people have done a lot of good research, like David Wilcock and Richard Hoagland, but the Large Hadron Collider had fired up successfully the first record-breaking experiment. Only hours. I'm trying to determine how many hours.
Well, don't tell me that thing had something to do with it, Dave.
1.2 protons slammed into each other at an energy intensity of 1. Let me get the data. It's almost 3 trillion electron volts. An energy intensity that has not existed anywhere in nature, not in the sun, not in a nuclear explosion, since the Big Bang.
Are you saying the Large Hadron Collider had something to do about it? Let's check in with you next on Coast to Coast AM. Streamlink, are you a member yet? Well, for just pennies a day, you can be by going to coasttocoastam.com to sign up for Streamlink. Also, you've got the After Dark magazine available to you when you call 1-888-727-5505. That's 1-888-727-5505. David Sirait is our guest. Back with him in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. So, David, are you saying that the Large Hadron Collider, when they started flipping the switch, had something to do with that energy burst, the spirals that we saw?
Well, the Large Hadron Collider on Twitter.com said that on December the 9th, 2:48 a.m., their time, two beams of protons at 1.18 trillion electron volts each, so you double that when they smash into each other, they set a world record. Literally, you're talking hours in European time before the event of the great, you know, Norway spiral. And so I thought, okay, you know, that's pretty amazing as a coincidence, but the coincidences just started stacking up. I mean, there were UFO reportings that came in the pursuing weeks that on December 9th, there were amazing UFO sightings from different places around the world. But we personally had, you know, my wife's uncle knows somebody really well who was in a coma for 3 weeks in Sedona, Arizona, taken to the hospital at Phoenix. And he woke up on December the 9th, and he told his brother, this is all I know, is the world is not going to end the way they say it's going to end.
Well, that means how will it end?
Well, you see, which is really amazing that he would wake up on December 9th. I mean, there's so many coincidences. And, of course, Richard Hoagland found the HARP was just over the hill, the European HARP technology. And I thought that was interesting because the night before I dreamt about a new type of HARP that these angels were showing me, and they showed me the mathematics of how to build it. And the coincidences just kept coming in. So finally, you know, to dispel the possibility, you know, was it a Russian, you know, missile? I asked Boyd Bushman, who builds missiles for, you know, General Dynamics and Lockheed Martin, you know, that's one of the things he does. And I'm waiting for the answer from him. And when I get it, you know, I will post it, you know, on one of my sites somewhere, so people can know from a professional opinion: are we really looking at a missile? I mean, whether it was really a missile or not, I mean, I can't say, you know, I'm not God, I don't know 100%, but I can tell you there were so many coincidences on December the 9th, and there were other years on December 9th on that day there were major, major UFO sightings. But let's go deeper into the mathematics and the idea of the higher frequency dimensions that the Norway spiral enlightened the world mm-hmm. to, and what is coming in 2012. When we look at the idea of an electron going into a really high frequency orbit in an atom, eventually it goes so high frequency when you strip it off of a proton, and Nobel Prize winner Paul Dirac did this. They go so high in frequency, they pass the gamma ray spectrum, and they go into the magnetoelectric spectrum, which is where William Tiller, in my film Quantum Communication, says that this is where consciousness and matter merge. The power of the consciousness force merges at this level, at that domain, in the magnetoelectric spectrum and beyond. Now, this is really amazing, because when you superimpose that idea on the galaxy, and you say that, okay, in the center of the galaxy, supposedly there's a black hole, which I don't think is there. I think it's just a higher frequency dimension. What's actually happening is that you also go, ultimately, the black holes is beyond even the smallest dimension ever measured, a sub-Planck length. The frequencies get so high, they also enter the magnetoelectric spectrum and beyond. Of course, this is where I am prophesying that, you know, God's angels reside in the center of the galaxy, from my experience. Well, this is really amazing because guess what? In the center of the galaxy, the New York Times reports, you know, this was just in October, as I just mentioned, of 2009, it looks like dark matter is giving birth to high-energy electrons and gamma rays in the core of the galaxy. And dark matter, Cloud Swanson from the Synchronized Universe, says scientific experiments have been done that when dark matter is direct, the largest concentration of dark matter is directly over our head, which actually it is right now as we're speaking at this time of the year, the psychic force improves by a factor of as much as 4, which means the accuracy of mental telepathy, spiritual experiences. Most of the ghosts or spiritual beings I see, I've now did a study, occur during the period which starts in the winter and goes into the early spring.
That's fascinating.
Which is really fascinating because what it says, what if dark matter is where the consciousness force is merged with matter?
It's the conduit.
It's the conduit. And it's in the center of the galaxy, but it's also in the center of atomic structures, which is like your previous guess, how atoms are talking to each other. Well, they're talking to each other at a frequency domain in the atom, at what Tiller calls the subtle energy domain, which is beyond the gamma ray spectrum. But what's amazing, when you take that knowledge of if consciousness at the center of the galaxy is creating matter and creating hydrogen, which would give birth to biological life forms eventually in the billions of years of history in a galaxy, then in a way it is God. It is the creative force creating life eventually in a very, very patient pace. But again, that tells us that as our planet and solar system make these quantum leaps when they cross these shells, if this is correct, if the quantum model is correct and the larger scale model that Einstein set forth isn't, then everything is going to get a lot lighter, and we're going to go into a higher frequency dimension. And there have been many, many great people on your show, like Sheldon Neidel and others, that talk about the photon belt and the great transformation and the big shift. And that may look really dramatic as the sun goes into this shift, but it may not be so bad on the physical level.
David, all this that seems to be happening now, tied into the Mayans, how did they know? Let's assume all this is correct.
Like I said, every so many thousand years, the solar system makes a loop. See, we're a wave within a wave. As we're spinning around the galaxy, we're not traveling in a straight line. We're spinning around in an elliptical spiral kind of wave, just spinning along. And every time we make one of those revolutions, that's 3,000 and some odd years or more. I forget the exact number on that, so don't quote me on that. But human civilizations have seen that loop happen before. And so they know that there is a major shift or transformation. Now, the same thing, again, happens in electrons. When they jump the shell to a higher frequency shell, the electron emits a huge burst of energy. But then electrons will jump back to the longer or lower frequency shell very quickly, and then they'll gain back their mass energy. And this happens very, very quickly. But there are some other things that happen in the quantum universe with particles that are called strangeness, that are so random in their behavior. For example, a big portion of the weight of our bodies is made up of strange quarks. And the strange quark is called strange because it randomly, without any mathematical formula that's repeatable and reliable, just like thinking, random and crazy, this heavy particle will leave the body, leave the center of the atom, which means it leaves your body, and then it comes back. And physicists don't know where it goes, and they don't know why it comes back, and they don't even know what it brought with them when it came back. You see, so I predict, based on the quantum model, that if 2012 is the date, or if it's 2013 or 2011 even, I think it might actually be, Kalman says that the real head Mayan priest, Don Alejandro Oxide, says that the real beginning of 2012 is October 28th, 2011. And, that's an experience, mystical experience I had. We talked
all
about
by,
before.
All by itself.
Yeah, and that may be, the idea of the rapture. Again, think about your body and gravity and everything becoming lighter, meaning spiritual things and miracles will become easier. And we're already seeing evidence of that now. We're making quantum leaps of understanding in physics and even how the galaxy functions, because NASA is now photographing the core of the galaxy with beautiful clarity for the first time, and we're seeing the imagery. We're learning so much every month as we're approaching 2012. I mean, at the very least, we're going to have a massive shift in our perspective and understanding and our ability.
You would be surprised if nothing happened, wouldn't you?
Well, I would be really surprised if nothing happened. I mean, I'm not saying that from a Buddhist perspective. I would be kind of flabbergasted if nothing happened. But what I know about fields, remember, when you enter a new field dimension, it transfers its energy to the particle, which is our bodies and matter, and it may even take us a while to realize what happened, because it hits you on a subtle level at first, and then all of a sudden, wow, we really see, it's really obvious what has actually occurred.
Interesting.
You know, one of the things you're doing right now, I mean, I just got to applaud you for a moment because you're my hero right now. You don't even realize that when you bring on Ron Paul and you talk about the Federal Reserve, you don't realize that you are so courageous to take on a subject that everyone has feared as a public speaking person. And I just think you are the most courageous person in radio to take on and give these senators and representatives the seat.
Well, you know, David, I want the truth. I am tired of people, whether they're Canadians or Americans or wherever they may live, of getting ripped off by people who are greedy and manipulative. When I see so many people starving and struggling and fighting to get back to what they had years ago, you know, I've got to stick my head out there. And they may try to chop it off one day, but you know what? Before they do, I'm going to go after all of them.
Well, it's so amazing to think that we are richer, I believe, right now than we've ever been in what money represents, which is goods, resources, labor, genius, thinking, education, transportation, technology. We have more of it than we've ever had. It's only the bank that says there's not enough money to move the goods and resources. And in fact, we could even afford right now, literally, to pay people to think. We grow enough food to feed the world three times over. Most food just rots and goes to waste. And we have enough stone and trees out there. And of course, I was a tree planter and I believe in reforestation. We have the resources to put everybody in nice homes, and we don't even need to be working as much as we are. And a lot of the global warming that's being produced out there is because we got two cars trying to pay for one mortgage and two people in the household. And we used to only have one, and we don't need to be doing this. We have outgrown the math equation of money. We have more of what money represents than we've ever had in history, but the calculators in the banks just don't get it yet. We actually have to go beyond money in 2012. We need to go to a whole new level of thinking about how to move goods and resources, because they're all there. All the people who are unemployed, actually, there's all the food in the world and the resources to feed them. There's no debt in nature. And so that's why for you to give the seat to Ron Paul and you know, what Kucinich has been saying on the subject, nobody else has as much courage as you do out there.
Keep plugging away. David, a couple minutes to go, then we'll take phone calls with you next hour. Is that okay?
Sure, yeah, that'd be great.
Hubble, they fixed it. They've cleaned it up a little bit. Are you impressed?
I'm so grateful to the Hubble Space Telescope. I mean, I'm on their site on a regular basis, and I'm always looking at I love it when we're right about our observations, but I love it even more when we're wrong and we see something that just makes everybody go, "What? We thought it would the universe work this way, and there's something out there." In fact, we can see so far into our universe now, and it's amazing that we can't even move to Mars. We can't even build a base on the moon yet. But thanks to the Hubble, we have these eyes that can see. And the NASA Spitzer Telescope and the WAMP satellites and the Chandra X-ray Telescope. The Chandra X-ray can actually see dark matter now. It can see it as a big blue kind of cloud. And I am so grateful to NASA. I mean, I may disagree, and a lot of scientists may disagree with, you know, classical theory, which is classical theory is so old that every month there's a new discovery on the Hubble and in the quantum universe at the same time that causes massive disagreement. In fact, it's come to the point where they don't even know where to set the slate yet, because every time we think we know what's happening now, a new discovery has happened the very next day. So I'm very, very grateful.
What's it all about, David? I mean, there's got to be a reason behind all this.
Well, for me, it's all about ultimately, you know, having the experience of knowing who we are, where we're going to go next, and where our potential next really is in our position in the universe. And if we don't blow it, and we can get past this money and debt thing, we realize how creative and rich and genius we are all over the world right now. We can enter an intergalactic civilization, literally. And this This may be the awakening that the field of intelligence of the galaxy itself transfers to us when we jump this new dimension of our galaxy. And, you know, that I'm excited to be alive in these times.
Interesting times. Now, you know, they always have said, best of times, the worst of times, but I'm glad we're here right now.
Yeah.
We've got to be able to fix it. Tell me about that DVD, by the way, The Voice. What is that?
Well, the DVD, The Voice, came out a few years ago, and it's a vision of looking at what science knows about the authentic enlightenment of the saints of all religions. And whereas quantum communication focuses on the power of consciousness itself, and, you know, in both films we interview major university scientists from all over the world, you know, and also, you know, Harvard, you know, Harvard and Stanford and Berkeley and, I mean, Princeton, the list just goes on and on and on. And one of the things that I do personally is I look for stories and research that's done at a very, very high level of science that the mainstream media ignores, and I put it in films and get it out to the world.
Well, and you do a good job doing that, that's for sure. No. So you are convinced that there are other universes out there? Are there, you know, intelligent beings, do you think, in those universes?
Oh, I think there are, like Dante Alighieri saw, that all of the nine planets were inhabited by spiritual beings, and so did Emanuel Swedenborg, and so did Pythagoras. Again, with the increase in technology peering into the invisible, I think we're going to find that most of the planets have some type of, whether even their energetic bodies of light or their actual spiritual beings, that are, some of them are even humanoid looking, that I have seen with my own eyes. I think we're not alone everywhere. I think our dimension right now in our DNA and our ability to perceive is so limited that we think we're alone, but we're really not.
We're far from that.
Far from alone.
Shadow beings, do you think they're from other dimensions?
Well, your original question, I mean, it has now become accepted in classical new theory and physics that we live in a multiverse. In fact, I saw an article recently published on how many different universes there are. When I saw the number, this was done at Stanford, I believe. I have this bookmark somewhere. It was a number so staggering, it'd be enough if we had three other universes on top of the universe we have now. But they had calculated mathematically, you know, physicists, the number of universes they gave us were so infinite to calculate that how could you argue the existence of the paranormal and spiritual beings in other dimensions? I mean, physicists, they're totally catching up to this stuff now.
Yeah, they are, and it's amazing how quickly they are coming up with what we would have said were supernatural theories years ago.
Oh, yeah, and they're, you know, guys like Gary Schwartz, I mean, I just heard this recently, he always has somebody at NASA or the military who sees something on a camera in the invisible, and they come to him and they say, what is this, Gary? They come to the, you know, the Harvard-Yale psychiatrist who believes in spiritual stuff, and he'll say, oh, yeah, we know what that is. And they help him out. But now I'm hearing in the grapevine that Gary's onto something huge. I don't believe he has gone public with it yet. That it has happened on, again, the major scientific communities have come to him. And I cannot wait to find out what that is.
All right. Well, what we will do next hour, this is a fast program. We'll take phone calls with David Sarita right here on Coast to Coast AM. I'm George Norrie, and we'll be right back.